Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good.
What religion are you?
I'm a Bible believer.
You're a Bible believer.
And I go to a Baptist church.
Okay.
Because I think a Baptist sticks closest to the Bible of all other people.
Okay.
Not all Baptists stick with the Bible, though. Okay. So some of them, you know, say they believe it, like Adrian Rogers, for example, over at Bellevue Baptist Church.
I'm not from around here, so I don't...
Well, but their preachers, they'll get on the television or the radio, you know, and they'll say this word could have been better translated this way or that way.
Okay.
I believe that God put his hand on the King James Bible. He chose to help the men, guided the men in their choice of words. And so what I've got in my hand is a supernatural book superior to all original autography that anybody's got.
You think King James Version is the version?
I know it is. It says, the word of God are pure words of silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, then the trade languages of the world, Old Latin and Old Syriac. And then at the beginning of the Reformation, trade language of the world, German.
Okay.
And the end of the Reformation, English. The final world language, English.
King James seven Bible. Times the King James Version.
Seven purifications. And the King James Bible is the only one that can qualify.
That's interesting.
Right. And are you saved?
No.
What?
No, I'm an atheist.
You're an atheist, huh?
I'm an atheist.
So you have absolute knowledge that nobody's got absolute knowledge.
You want to know what I believe?
No, that's what you have to believe to be an atheist. You have to believe that you have absolute knowledge that there's no being in the universe that has absolute knowledge. And you believe that.
What I believe is we're animals.
That what?
I believe we're animals.
Okay, let me ask you something. I was hoping I'd get a chance to talk to somebody like that.
That's why I came up to you.
All right, now look.
Okay.
That's just like male and female.
Okay.
Let's suppose that for 5 billion years we were just nothing, right? Neither male nor female, and our genetic code, which obviously nobody knew about when Darwin wrote, our genetic code is programmed in 4 digits as opposed to man only being able to program in 2, on and off or plus and minus. But our genetic code is in 4 digits.
I believe it's a lot more than 4, but okay.
Oh yeah, I mean, and so now, if there was added genetic code to something to make something specialized, I'd say that a woman started out with her breast down by her stomach. Now that'd be pretty stupid, wouldn't it? And how is it that time would bring about a breast to move up to the chest where it would be something that you could love on instead of having something hanging off down on, and that take your reproductive organs. I mean, we're talking about adding specialized code that's reproduced.
Well, I can.
It's design.
Let me tell you my theory.
All right, it's intelligent design is what you've got.
Well, let me tell you my theory. You're religious. I see the breasts moving up. I believe the breasts are always up on the chest, but not being up in the stomach.
Animals have it down on their tummy.
Say they were in the stomach. Say that we as humans desire them more on the chest. So over time, we chose when we had them on the chest because it was more desirable to us. So over time, they propagated and they reproduced more often than the other ones.
But we're advanced over those people, aren't we?
Over what people?
Over the people who made a choice that says, I want my bosoms on my chest. We're a lot more advanced than those people. Why did we lose that ability to make choice like that?
We made the choice. We're human.
But how did we make the choice to no longer have the ability to choose? In other words, we chose something to lock ourselves into a place where we would lose this much superior ability. I mean, look, I would love just to have one great big eye.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, or I would love to have, instead of a nose that stuck out, I would just like to have a hole. I think that'd be a lot cuter. You see, I feel like there's intelligent design to make us appealing and to make us different from other beings.
I'll tell you where my struggle is. An atheist.
Right. Yeah.
We
want to do it right now?
I think we should pray for you.
Right. What are their names?
They are Alpha Tales.
Father, we pray for the Patels. Lord, I know the name. They've been influential in the motel industry and others in this country, Lord. From India, I pray, God, that you'll deliver them from the power of Satan. I pray you'd save them in the name of Jesus. On the authority of your blood, I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. I'll tell you my difficulty.
All right.
As an atheist, here's my difficulty. To envision the world without human beings.
The what?
To envision the world without human beings.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing. To think that we are just animals. There's my difficulty. To think we are just animals. And if we weren't here, how different the world would be. There's my difficulty. To think we're just animals.
Well, but we're obviously created so much better than the animals that we have an intelligent design that's superior to any animal. There's no animal that writes a book or sings in four-part harmony. Or...
I'm not doubting you. We are far superior to animals.
Right.
And that's where my difficulty comes in.
And so if you see anything on this earth, you see it designed. And your body, the idea I told you, your sexuality has got so much more design to it than anything that you see.
But do you think our sexuality is beyond animals?
I think that your sexuality is designed so that there's something more than just if you looked at the copulation of a honeybee,
what about
a queen and the drone, you find within their copulation area, you find a convoluted. And it's not exactly convoluted, but a convolution within there, and that it's so complex that she could leave a drop of her venom on the drone and kill him. And so it's designed so that it's such a design and so intricate and so immovable in its DNA and its genetic code. That God, it had to be planned, and you think
God planned that too?
Absolutely, everything is it's no. You see, to add the genetic code to make a specialization is so complex that it had to come from design. It could not have come from template. How many times could you put a McDonald's hamburger in a bag and leave it in that bag for 40 million years and have it come out of Mercedes-Benz?
I'm hearing you. I believe. I'm hearing what you're saying. I have a hard time differentiating between just biological. We've been here for so long that we started out as little things in the ocean and it just kept morphing. And so here we are. And I have a hard time believing that we're anything beyond that. I'd like to believe we're something beyond that. I'd love to believe it. I'd love to believe when I die, I'd be beyond that.
Yeah.
But I can't have a hard time believing that when I die, I'm going to be anything beyond what I am right now. Well, I have a hard time believing when I die, it's going to be anything. I think that's it. Unfortunately. Yeah. I wish I could. I try to believe. I've read the Bible. I've read it probably more than most people. I've read it in great extent.
Yeah.
And I've tried to believe. I've prayed. I've done what I thought. I'm like, nothing ever happened. So I just said, well, I'm an animal.
Well, you know, you have progressed to a place where to end it right now would be, you would think that there had to be some purpose to the struggle you've gone through. And to end it right now would have to be to saying there was no purpose to the struggle. Now, that's why I believe there was a purpose, and I am just beginning to learn, you know, I'm just learning some things now. You know, I'm just getting old enough to understand some things. I got a historical concept. So now, to suddenly find out that it ended all and I was dead in the grave and that was the sum total of it and I was dead like a dog, it doesn't make any sense. Now, another thing.
It's a rough reality.
Another thing. There's no equality in this life. I know a little girl over at the Stephanie over at St. Jude. Now she's a preteen, or I think she's 14 years old.
Okay.
They're taking her leg off at the hip. Now, I mean, that's a tragic thing. And they were going to take my arm off.
So there's a God. Why would he do that?
Well, because he made man in his own image.
Okay.
Man chose to leave the truth and not obey the truth.
Yeah.
He chose unrighteousness, and the penalty was tragic.
We're evil. by nature.
No, we weren't, though. We weren't created that way.
We weren't created that way, but we've become that way.
Because, see, we said that there's nothing wrong with eating a piece of fruit. A little piece of fruit won't bother you. These folks are saying a little party life won't bother you. But you see, God said just one little piece of fruit was equivalent to bring death to the whole human race.
I realize that 100%.
And it's tragic, but it's...
He stands.
But God fixed himself a way to get man back. For Adam and Eve, he said, here's a skin. Put it on. You know what had to take place to get a skin?
What?
The death of that animal. A lamb. From the very first, God said, and then so he comes along and says, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ.
But God condemns now, sacrificing things.
He only condemns those who reject the truth, and
God.
He gives every man...
Tell me this, does God, it pretty much says in the Bible, that if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you are saved.
He says if you receive him... He gives you power to become the sons of God. He says if you call on him, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way. No man comes unto the Father but by me.
Yeah.
Now, he did that and said that because he died. Muhammad never died for you. Buddha never died for you.
Even as an atheist, I believe Jesus, in his own mind, died for my sins. In his own mind, Jesus died and thought, you know, Jesus could have been a falsification. And I know you don't believe that.
That's what I'm saying here.
But Jesus could have been, hey, I'm a host. But I no doubt Jesus lived. He lived.
Yeah, but what followed the life of Jesus was not what follows the life of anybody that's a host. The 10,000 Jews that became the foundation for the Christian church left the traditions of their mothers and fathers and their families. And they walked away from that. Why would they do that? You can't get them to do that today.
Jesus said things that nobody else...
I want to tell you why.
Why is that?
Because they saw somebody that saw Jesus alive from the dead. That is the only reason.
Jesus did things in his life that make me question. I'm not going to lie. As an atheist, even. He did things that you sit back and you go, wow. If he were nobody, he'd have been really bold to say that. Really bold. Because if you were just somebody, you couldn't say that. Because they'd try you on it, and you'd be dead. They'd kill you on it.
And the proof of his deity is that he was raised from the dead. He did not sin himself. Now, he said... over there, the second one down there, it says, while he was on earth, he claimed to be in heaven.
Yeah.
So he looked at a group of people that were questioning him, and he said, no man, or is a Nicodemus, as a matter of fact, and I'm illustrating it like this, no man has ascended up to heaven. So none of us, and you and I, we look down the street, how many of these of us here have ascended into heaven? None of us. But he... I think he points to himself, that came down from heaven. So he knew of his pre-existence. Had a Hindu last night that told me that he was enlightened and that made him a god. But he said he came down from heaven. And he said to me that I have also come down from heaven. I don't have any knowledge of my pre-existence.
But Jesus up to the point where John the Baptist baptized him, was a carpenter.
Yeah,
right. But he knew nothing of his existence before that point, right?
He knew all of his existence.
Before he was baptized?
Yeah, certainly.
I thought before he was baptized he was just a carpenter.
No.
I got somebody waiting on me somewhere around here. He's probably getting tired of waiting on me.
Well,
I'm enjoying talking.
Oh.
What's your name?
Ken. My name's
sorry?
Ken. Ken.
Okay, I'm James.
Hi, James. Nice to talk
nice
to you.
Nice to meet you.
Where are you from?
I'm from Cincinnati.
Good.
Down here working.
So he says, this is what Paul said about him, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God,
Okay.
Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So he's in the form of God. Now this is, but he made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So before he came to earth, he was in the likeness of God. So the prophet said, unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God.
Okay.
Now he's also the Everlasting Father. So when he said, no man descended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who's in heaven,
yeah,
he was claiming to be in heaven.
Yeah.
He is the Father. He is God. He was claiming to be the Father and seated in heaven, and he was claiming to be the Son. Now, if he's not a lunatic,
yeah,
then he's not a liar, then the only thing you can do is to believe that the prophet wrote down what God wanted him to write down, and that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. He's God Almighty.
Therein lies my problem.
Manifest in the flesh.
Therein lies my problem.
Now, the reason I believe the prophets,
yeah,
is because this book is the only book on earth that tells history in advance.
It tells us what?
History in advance. Written down. I went to the mosque, the Islamic mosque. I asked his mom over at the mosque here on Stratford Road to show me one place in the Quran where Muhammad wrote down anything.
Well, Muhammad was made up. I mean, okay, look, that guy said, I want to say, I'm sacred, I'm going to write this book.
Yeah.
He wrote it.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, well, the Old Testament, okay, it precursors Jesus, but it predicts him.
But it does more than that. I'll show you one that came to pass in my lifetime. In my lifetime, this thing was written 700 years before Jesus Christ.
Okay.
He says, he took him through the valley of bones, and he caused me to pass through them. There are very many. And he said, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now they come to life. Bone this bone, flesh this flesh. What are the bones? These bones are the whole house of Israel. 1948 or 1917. Israel became a nation.
Yeah.
And that,
scary.
My lifetime,
yeah,
they were a scattered group of people that had no nationality, but yet they were maintained as a valley. They were maintained as a consistency that was different, even though they were dispersed. And then they came back together. And see, now that's what I'm talking about. History told in advance. Now, have you got a minute? I'll show you another one.
Somewhere my dude's waiting on
you. Well, he'll come find you. I mean, he knew you were talking to the guy on the sign, didn't he? With the sign.
Yeah, he was over here.
Here's the one that...
I don't want your stuff to blow away.
Well, let's put your foot on it.
Or kind of feels wrong.
Or stick it under that. Or hand it to me.
I'm open to suggestions. You know.
All right, well, look, everything you see is designed. And
okay.
You got to deal with the origin of matter. No explosion you ever saw anywhere produced any order. And yet the universe is in order. It runs on a circuit. Now, where did that order come from? And I'll tell you that order came from design. Now here's another design. God was involved in the writing of this book. Deuteronomy, the first writer of the Bible, except for maybe Job,
okay,
wrote, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken." Now, Moses said, from Jews is going to come a prophet like me.
Yep.
All right, Moses, the babies were killed,
yep,
at his birth.
Yep. Yep.
Jesus, the babies were killed at his birth by Herod.
Yep.
Moses,
except for Jesus.
Moses offered himself as a deliverer from Egypt for the Jews. They rejected him. Moses flees into Egypt, so he goes to another country.
Okay.
He goes north, as a matter of fact. So when Jesus leaves after being rejected. He goes north, and he's planning to come back again. Now, other things is when Moses put his hand in his coat and he brought it out, it had leprosy on it, right?
Okay,
that's what it happened. You read the book of Exodus, that's the story.
Okay.
When he put it back in, the leprosy was gone. So he has the gift of healing. So Jesus, when he comes to his people, he heals them.
There's a lot of them.
He heals them.
Constantly. That's all he's doing.
There's
the Bible.
There's nobody that he left unhealed.
In the study of Matthew, that's all he's doing. He's healing people constantly.
Now, when Moses was in the wilderness with leading his people into the promised land, he fed them with manna supernaturally from heaven.
Yeah.
When Jesus came to the Sermon on the Mount, the people out in the wilderness, he fed them supernaturally.
Yep. They broke the bread.
That's right. Now, see, that's how that book is so thick that it is the DNA in this book is more succinct than the DNA in your body. And so that's why the Bible says about itself. Now, one last thing about Moses, he was, when he came back, he delivered the people, okay? And he delivered them from Pharaoh, who's a type of the Antichrist. And so when Jesus comes back, he's going to deliver them from Satan, who's the type of that, or the anti-type of the Antichrist. So Hebrews says, It says, the word of God is quick. That means it's alive, like you pick something under the quick of your fingernail.
Okay.
It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is what? The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So now look at this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. See, God says this book is alive. In his sight. Who? The word of God, his sight. It's even a masculine, his sight. It's not feminine. It's not a wimpy little thing.
I'm hearing you.
Hey.
I read.
Hey.
I keep reading.
All right, the King James Bible is the
I've
book.
I've got one.
All right.
I've got it.
Now, you know what will save your life? Repenting of your unbelief.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I just have a hard time as an atheist. I have a real hard time believing.
But look at design. Think about intelligent design. Look.
I do think about intelligent design.
Everything is designed. I'm going to give you my business card.
Okay.
And I got an email address on there. And the reason I'm going to give it to you is because if you'll email me, I will give you get you on a mailing list, or I can email you back from Creation Research Institute, where you can get on their mailing list and get creation books.
Okay.
And I'll give you some other email and websites.
I love information. I love to read.
I know you're intelligent, and God wants to.
I love to read.
See, you know the reason Jesus took that whipping? He wants your heart.
Yeah.
And he deserves it. For a righteous man, scarcely would one die. But Jesus, as the Lamb of God, died for you. And the good news is that God accepted his blood in heaven as a payment for your sins.
Well, I know Jesus, in his own mind at least. I don't know in my mind. He died for my sins. I have no doubt. He died for me, and I have no doubt about that.
Okay.
Whether this life beyond where I'm living right now, I haven't come to that conclusion yet. But I'll write you, and I'm always open information. I love to read.
Okay.
I'm open-minded.
All right.
And if I could ever find proof otherwise, I'm always open-minded.
All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer.
All right.
James, right?
James. Ken?
can. All right. Father, I pray for James that you'll deliver him from the satanic power of unbelief. Father, I pray that you'll open the eyes of his understanding. Give him grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus.